morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the First Congregational Church in Natick, I welcome you here this morning to the First Congregational Church. People are telling, there we go. Thank you, Wayne. Where was I? We believe strongly in the statement, one of the UCC taglines, whoever you are, wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, and we're glad that you're here. Shortly after the announcements, I will be lighting the Christ candle on the table, and for those of you who are joining us in worship at home, please feel free. I encourage you to get a candle so you may join us in that. Also, for those at home, we'll be celebrating communion in the service, so if you could get some elements, that would be wonderful if you would join us in spirit. The elements could be a tortilla or an English muffin, a glass of wine, a cup of coffee. And for those that are celebrating, sharing in communion here, when it's time, I will invite you to come forward. The bread is on each side, so you'll come forward. The white is wine, is that right? The white is wine, and the red is grape juice, and there is gluten-free in the blue bowl there behind the Christ candle. Please email prayer requests to prayers at firstchurchnatick.org. Write them on an index card in the pew and hand it to an usher, and they will bring it up here, or text it to my cell phone, which is 978-790-8250. It looks like Ned and his friend are over there at the parade ground. If anybody would like to join them, please feel free at any time. There's lots of cool things over there. And am I doing the Super Bowl, or is there somebody? Oh, right, it's you, Regan. I don't know why I got confused with that. And it has your name right next to it. Oh, you can do better than that.
Good morning, everybody. I'm here to announce the start of the fourth quarter, last quarter of the annual Super Bowl. Get excited. Just a reminder that south of Route 135, that is our Penguins. Penguins! No bias, I'm supposed to be the ref, so no bias. Yeah. Penguins. North of Route 135, that's our Polar Bears. We had some great action in the third quarter. If we put the score up on the screen, you can see the Polar Bears went up to 875 points, but the Penguins took the lead, 1,073 points this morning. I'd like to thank a self-appointed cheerleader. You know who you are on the Penguins. Thank you very much for your... just a reminder that you can donate online on the You Give Goods website for clothing items and food for the Natick Food Pantry. We're doing awesome. We're getting towards our goal of 3,000. So let's give a fourth quarter push. And yeah, we'll see where we are next week for the final. And who will win?
Good morning. I'm here to announce, about the Santa Maria Ceja. So a group of us from the church are going to Guatemala in a week and a half. We leave on Wednesday, the 15th of February, and we'll be there through the 26th. And part of what we're going to do there is to hear about how the education efforts are happening in the village. And so we're asking for you to bring in some items, pens, pencils, markers, crayons, erasers, paintbrushes, that sort of thing. Think elementary school arts and crafts and elementary school school supplies. These are really important for the village. They appreciate it so, so much. There is a box or basket down in the elevator lobby on the first floor, just as you come in off the parking lot. and you can leave all of your items there. We'll be taking them with us when we go. And so Jeff and Jenna and Grace and myself are so excited for this trip. We've been doing a lot of preparation. The other thing that I want to ask you to do for us while we're there is to pray for us, because it is an amazing opportunity for all of us to be there, and we're very excited. So pray, bring in school supplies, and we will take them with us. Thank you.
Good morning again, long time no see. I'm here on behalf of Just Reagan. For the City Reach, I am attending the City Reach program as well as other FCC youth and adults. And we're collecting clothing items. You can see on the screen some of the items we're collecting for when we go into Boston. We're learning about homelessness. We're serving a meal and distributing clothing. And so we'll have some bins up here to collect different clothing, like socks, underwear, warm clothes. We don't need any children's clothes, dress clothes, stuff like that, pajamas, out of season clothing. We need like warm clothes, necessities, and some toiletries. So that'll be very helpful. And I'm extremely excited for this program. So thank you so much.
I wish I had his presence up here when I was his age. Let's turn our attention to worship. I will exalt you, Ark of Safety, because you have pulled me up and have not let my enemies rejoice over me. Healing One, my God, I cried to you for help and you healed me. Ever-living God, you brought my soul up from Sheol. You preserved my life from descent to the pit. Sing praises to the faithful God. You, her faithful, give thanks, remembering her holiness. For her fury is a moment, her favor a lifetime. Weeping may pass the night, yet in the morning, joy. Now I said in my prosperity, I shall never be shaken. Majestic One, by your favor, you established me as a mighty mountain. You hid your face. I was terrified. To you, Most High, I call, and to you, my sovereign, I appeal. What profit is there in my shed blood and my descent to the pit? Will the dust praise you, declare your faithfulness? Hear, Holy One, and have mercy upon me. Holy One of old, be my help. You have turned my wailing into dancing. From me you have taken my sackcloth, and you have clothed me with joy, so that my glory might praise you and not keep silent. Glorious One, my God, forever I will praise you. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Pastor and poet Steve Garnes Holmes writes this: light is the energy of God, which is love moving. Let there be light, God said, and you were conceived. You are love made matter, word made flesh, the light of God, the light of being, momentarily here in this form, shining, radiating God. You don't need to produce it or generate it. It is who you are. When you are truly yourself, it shines. The world sparkles with people walking around gleaming. Even on our deathbeds, we glow. Trust your light, give thanks. Open the shutters of your lantern. Let your light so shine before others that they may see it and glorify God.
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, it says here that it's time for the call to celebration, but we've already had three calls to celebration, haven't we? We've learned about our fundraising to help our local neighbors, and we've learned about our mission trip to go help our distant neighbors, and we've learned about our work to clothe our homeless neighbors. So we've had three calls for celebration, and they've been responsive because I've heard everyone's applause, and it's just such a joy. But let's now have our worshipful call to celebration responsively. Return to the holy God who calls you to steadfast love. God desires love, not sacrifice. Return to the one who heals and binds, revives and raises up. God desires knowledge, not burnt offerings. We will rejoice in the name of the one who favors all creation with light and life. And now please rise and embody your spirit for the singing of our first hymn, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past. Seated. Would you please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Holy God, creator of the universe, author of faith itself, infuse your people with trust so that you have given life to your people throughout the ages. We too might know the true healing that comes from your steadfast word. Through Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Let us turn and return to the one who desires to hear our confession and waits to grant us grace. First, in silent prayer. Let's pray together. Merciful God, your word and promises come to us when our hearts are full with rejoicing and when our hearts fill with sorrow for our failings. The gifts you have given us, we have not shared with our neighbors. By overt acts and by omission, we diminish your creation. We deceive ourselves about our true nature, and we do not honor your desire for earth and all her creatures. Forgive us, we pray. Show us the pathway toward healing and give us peace. In the name Jesus, our brother, teacher, and guide. Amen. The God of mercy desires the well-being of all people and creatures. The God of Abraham and Sarah, of the prophets, of Paul and Mary Magdalene, gives life and makes new what is old. In the name of God who raised Jesus from the dead, our sins are forgiven. Walk in love.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us offer that peace to one another. Thank you. The young people now can go to godly play and connect. Hospitality, a warm welcome and a loving heart, is generosity. When we welcome each child of God into the life of this church, we extend God's own generous hospitality. Our gifts help this graceful ministry to flourish and to grow and to give glory to God. Let's gather our gifts and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. You may put your offerings in the plates that are going to be going around. You may mail them to the church office, or you may go online to firstchurchnatick.org and make them there. Let's continue to worship God with our offerings. Would you please rise in body or spirit? Please join me in the prayer of thanksgiving. God of all creation, we offer with thanksgiving what is not ours, but what we have received from you. Bless these gifts for the sake of our siblings in this world. Let your word of abundant life go out into all the lands, bringing food and forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
The Christian scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 18 through 26. While Jesus was speaking, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and prostrated himself, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." Then Jesus got up and followed him, along with his disciples. And then suddenly a woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe on his clothing, for she said to herself, "If I could only touch his clothing, I will be healed." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take courage, daughter. Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that hour. Then Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a disturbance. He said, "Leave, for the precious girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put out, he went in and took her by the hand, and the precious girl arose. And the news of this spread throughout the district. This ends today's reading.
You've probably heard this before about Jesus wandering around Jerusalem and he needed a new robe. So he's looking through all the shops and finally he sees it, Finkelstein the tailor. He walks in and he tells Finkelstein he needs a new robe and he does the measurement. Finkelstein does the measurements and Jesus comes back a couple days later and tries on the robe and it fits perfectly. Jesus says, "Well, how much do I owe you?" "Oh, no, 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 nothing. You're the Son of God. You don't owe me anything. But I do ask one favor. When you're out and about in the countryside, tell people that I, Finkelstein, made this robe." Jesus agreed, and when again he was walking through Jerusalem, he went into Finkelstein's tailor and said, Finkelstein said, "Jesus, look what you've done to my business. Would you consider a partnership?" "Yes," Jesus said, "Jesus and Finkelstein it is." "No," said Finkelstein, "Finkelstein and Jesus, after all, I am the craftsman." And they went back and forth and back and forth, and their discussion was spirited, and ultimately they came to a compromise, and a few days later, the sign went up over the store. Can you guess what it read? Lord and Taylor. There was something about Jesus' clothing. Matthew tells us of a woman in need of healing, a woman suffering from uncontrolled bleeding for 12 years. Imagine. The woman walked up behind Jesus, reached out, and simply touched the fringe of his robe. Not even the robe itself, just the fringe. And in that moment, she was healed. Jesus turned around and said to the woman, "Take courage, daughter. Your faith has healed you." That's all it took. The woman touched the fringe of his robe and was healed. "Take courage, daughter. Your faith has healed you." One thing on which all scholars agree is that Jesus was a great healer. Marcus Borg writes, "There are more healing stories about Jesus than anyone in the whole Jewish tradition. From the moment Jesus gathered disciples, he healed fevers, cured mental illness, and worked his way through crowds of people with all kinds of pains, from epilepsy to paralysis. Story after story describes Jesus healing blindness and leprosy, tumors, even extinguishing the fires of mental illness. He raised people from sick beds and brought them back from the brink of death. His reputation grew throughout the land, and he inspired the confidence of the multitudes who came themselves or brought their loved ones for healing. Whatever else you might believe in Jesus, one thing is clear. He was a healer. His power to heal people established his reputation, and his disciples were good healers too. They cured the lame and the blind and asked his advice about different cases that stumped them. What was Jesus healing these people of? Many of them were sick physically, emotionally, spiritually. Many of them were ostracized, excluded, shamed, and pushed to the edges of society and isolated. Sometimes because of their illness, of course, but sometimes just because of who they were. Tax collectors, women, Canaanites, Samaritans, to name a few. That healing touch, the experience of being touched by or touching Jesus, not only cured the physical or psychological wounds, it also brought people in. That touch reached out and brought these people in from the edges of society and back into community. What must it have been like, do you think, to be that woman? The woman who reached out to touch the fringe of Jesus' robe. What did it feel like to be her? A woman with uncontrolled bleeding in the midst of that crowd. Imagine. We know that as a woman in the society of the time, she had already been pushed by the culture, by the faith tradition, by men. She'd already been pushed out to the margins, and that a woman should be seen in such a public place and that she would even dare to touch a strange man without his consent is extraordinary in the culture and time of Jesus. How do you think she mustered that courage? The courage to leave where she was and walk into that crowd. Could you have done it? Maybe she's just reached the point of desperation. In the faith tradition of that day, she would have been considered impure. Impure and not be allowed to participate in any part of society. Can you imagine what that would be like? Shamed, shunned. There would have been fear of catching her disease, but the greater fear was becoming impure like she was, just by being around her, because they thought at the time that impurity would infect anybody that touched her. Of all the afflictions in that time, perhaps the worst, to be shamed in that way. The effects of the stigma of shame are devastating. When one experiences shame, I'm sure I'm not telling you things you don't know, one's whole being seems diminished or lessened. British philosopher Bernard Williams describes it like this. The expression of shame is not just the desire to hide or to hide my face, but the desire to disappear. The desire to disappear, not to be there. It's not even the wish, as people say, to sink through the floor, but rather the wish that the space occupied by me should instantaneously be empty. It's important to remember that shame is different than guilt. We feel guilt for what we do, we've made some mistake, but we feel shame for what and who we are. This woman might have felt guilt because she did something wrong, but she felt shame because she was something wrong. In the religious culture of Jesus' day, shame was used overtly and openly. One was either pure or impure, as defined by the Levitical laws in the Bible. In Puritan ways, I'm sure you know, they were overtly using shame, a letter A on one's chest, for example, to indicate the person was an adulterer. This is a little tidbit I found out about last night. Same kind of thing. The cutty stool. Anybody? C-U-T-T-I, the cutty stool. It was used in churches, right up here in the center. And a woman who had been guilty of transgressing the Seventh Amendment, adultery, was condemned to the cutty stool and sat during the whole service here in front with a black shawl over her head. One guy writes, the culprits did not always take the admonition patiently. It's recorded of one of them in Ayrshire that when accused of adultery by the minister in worship, he, the guy, corrected the minister by denying the charge and calling out, nah, it was just a simple fornication, no adultery. He didn't need to sit in the cuddy stool. Today we use shame differently. Today we don't put letters on people's chest or make them sit on the cuddy stool, but we might deny them health care. We might deny them the sacraments of the church. We might enslave them with our payday loans. We call something a choice rather than one's created nature. We label a child a problem rather than seek to understand their unique identity and adapt our ways of relating to them. When we're driven by shame, we draw into ourselves, we come to believe that we aren't worth anything. We become small. And it can lead us to those destructive behaviors and lash out at others. We cut ourselves off from others and we seek revenge. And it drives us to destroy ourselves. Eating disorders, substance abuse, and. Experts believe that simple human contact, like that woman with Jesus, that human contact is often the most healing thing for a shamed person. Simple contact, like touching the fringe of his robe. To be healed, people who feel shame need to feel they have a place where they won't experience further shaming. The first step to healing is to offer love and empathy. Brené Brown. If we can share our story with someone who responds with empathy and understanding, shame can't survive. We're told that when Jesus felt the woman's touch, he turned and knew instantly the faith and courage that she had to walk into that crowd, to walk into society, with just his affirmation and recognition, she was healed. Jesus, by pulling her in from the margins of society, was relieving her sense of shame. The gift of his healing was the gift of relationships restored. So many of those stories of Jesus' healing miracles are about people who have been alienated by diseases and death. And this woman's bleeding separated her by ritual law from her family and from her friends. But by touching and being touched, Jesus broke through those barriers. The gift of his healing was the gift of relationships restored. Perhaps the healing was a double one, healing from her physical ailment and a healing of her soul. Which one's the greater blessing? In our own lives, we too are sometimes like this woman in the crowd. Many of us here this morning, I suspect, are hemorrhaging in some way, or have, because of a mental or a physical weakness or some other aspect of our lives that haunts us with the messages of shame. You're unclean. You have sinned. You are not wanted. You do not belong. And living with those voices of shame, it eats away at our souls. The feeling of being marginalized and isolated will eventually destroy us, a slow hemorrhaging of our sense of selves. It's feeling like the woman with the 12 years of hemorrhaging. The good news of our gospel lesson is that that shame isn't the end of the story. Or doesn't need to be. Like the woman in the crowd, perhaps there's something else, some instinct, some deep desire or belief, even some despair that says, ever so quietly, this isn't true. This isn't true. This is not the way it was meant to be. And that something else, regardless of how small it is, drives us to take a risk, to reach out, to touch just the fringe of his cloak, to begin reclaiming our humanity, our belonging, our life, and put an end to the prison cell of shame. That something else, that small voice we hear in the back of our heads, that something else is the voice of God. Can you hear it? Go ahead. Have faith. Reach out and be healed. May it be so for us. Amen. This is the table of Jesus Christ, where Jesus is host and we are his invited guests. come to this table not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because of any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help and healing. Come because you love Jesus a little and you'd like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. On that night of betrayal and desertion, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, "This cup is the new covenant in my love. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim Jesus' death until he comes again." Would you join me in consecrating the elements by holding out your hands of blessing? Spirit of Christ, this meal takes away our shame and replaces it with your unconditional love. For bread is body, and the cup is poured for all. Shine on these gifts, so here and so now. Shine on our lives today and give us enough for everyone's tomorrows. Amen. Would you please come forward down the center aisle? Again, the white is wine and the purple is grape juice, and there are gluten-free right there. If you come down here and go back that way. And then once you're back in your seats, we will share the elements together. for all the paths you are to travel and all the light arising on your way home. Take this bread and eat. For every meal that you share with others and every sip you need of hope, take this cup and drink. Would you please join me in the prayer of thanksgiving? Thank you, O Christ, for this feast of life. We are fed by your love. We are strengthened by your life. We are sent forth into this world to live into the visions God has laid on our hearts. We are now commissioned to feed as we have been fed, forgive as we have been forgiven, love as we have been loved. Thanks be to God. Amen. There is a prayer list in your bulletin, lovingly compiled. I ask you to hold all those people on your hearts. The delegation that will go to Santa Maria Zeha, and in these days of freezing cold, those who are unhoused, living outside. Prayers for Lorraine, who's experiencing leg pain and lessened mobility. Anything by email, Lane? Others, joys, concerns, celebrations, things you would like to share with the congregation. Amy? The robins have come to the Winterberries at Amy's house, and she has been healed. Others. The congregation's response is, hear our prayer. Hear our prayer. And the prayer is in recognition of Black History Month. Let's pray together. God of all peoples, whose Son reached across the ethnic boundaries between Samaritan, Roman, and Jew. Help us to break down the barriers in our communities. Enable us to see the reality of racism and bigotry, and free us to challenge and uproot it from ourselves, our society, and our world. O God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all victims of racial hatred and discrimination, and we seek your protection for those affected in our churches, our schools, our places of work, and our communities. O God, in your mercy. We pray for all in our world of whatever race, who suffer the horrors of modern slavery. Jesus came to bring good news to the poor and freedom for the oppressed. We pray for all those working to combat modern slavery and to end human trafficking, for governments and agencies, for the church and other faith leaders, businesses, charities, and individuals. O God, in your mercy, we pray for ourselves. May we be voices against oppression and channels of the transforming power of the gospel. Open our hearts to all who suffer in our midst, but out of sight. Help us to work for a world where human beings are valued, where no one is enslaved, and no one used against their will for another's pleasure or need. O God, in your mercy, we pray that we may know the power of reconciliation wherever there is division between us and others. Because of our race or ethnicity, we pray that we all may be led to reconciliation. We pray for all who work to bring communities together in ways that are just and equal for all. O God, in your mercy, as we pray for reconciliation, we pray also for restoration. We pray for those whose spirits and communities have been weighed down by racism. Guide us as we strive to ensure everyone has equal dignity. O God, in your mercy, compassionate God, who sent Jesus to deliver us from all manner of injustices and inequalities, create in us new hearts and enlarged vision to see the image of God in every person, irrespective of background, race, and ethnicity. May we be generous in our love of others as we work towards ending misunderstanding, racism, and injustice, creating communities of human flourishing. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, as we pray, as Jesus would have us. Our divine parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please rise in body or spirit for our final hymn, My Life Flows On, an Endless Song.
Thank you.
go from here with courage to reach out and touch the fringe, and free from shame, you will free others. And as you go, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God enough that you fear nothing else at all. Go in peace. Amen.